Word. All right, let's get your Bibles out if you have them, and I'm also going to put it up here on the big screen. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15, and the title of this message today is Great Faith. Look at somebody and say, you got to have faith. Got to have faith. We need faith, and sometimes our faith gets weak. My faith has got weak before. Anybody else in here, your faith gets weak, and you're like, golly. Yeah, okay, well, today, I'm praying before you leave here, it's going to be strengthened. You're going to have some tools to keep your faith strengthened during the week. But I also want to, before we start, over the past 2 weeks, we've had guest ministers, and one was a guest, one was not a guest. Was Mark Ward spoke last week, did an awesome job. I told him, I said, I want you to preach on Mark chapter 6, however the Lord leads you. And I heard he did a great job. Actually, Jade and I listened to him. I told Jade, I said, here's the deal. I'm going to take Mark to McDonald's the next time we go. Anyway, if you've heard that message, you know what I'm talking about. Food multiplies around Mark, and so I like that. I like food, and if food's multiplying around somebody, I want to be around them. Anyway, it was a good message. He did a great job talking about belief and unbelief, and this message actually kind of goes along with that one. And then Cammie Can 2 was here the week before that, did a tremendous job. And I spoke to her last week, a couple of weeks ago after she was here on that Sunday. And she was saying, Pastor Mark, I just want you to know y'all have a great church. She goes, I didn't feel anything in the spiritual realm that was blocking me or hindering me. And she said, your church is just blessed. She was thankful that, you know, we let the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow here. She really moves heavily in the gift of prophecy, and I'm telling you guys, the gift of prophecy is a blessing. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times in my life, in our journey, Jade and I's journey with the Lord, that it has saved us. That breath of fresh air just at the right time, that right now word just at the right time, and just put wind back in your sails. And we've all seen, some of us in here have seen the goofy side of that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, but we don't want that. We want the true gifts of the Spirit, and that was the true gifts of the Spirit flowing into God's body to give them strength. It wasn't, as a pastor, I have to watch out for the ones that like to bring them the dog and pony show is what I like to call it. And it wasn't about that. She brought the gift of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to people, and it was a true, true blessing, and I was just commending her for that, and I was telling her that, and she said, I came home and I told my mom and dad, their pastors of their church there, and she goes, they have such a wonderful church, and I just felt at liberty there. And then she said, Pastor Mark, she goes, I just want you to know it's not like that everywhere. She goes, I got a call to go to a women's conference, because she goes to a lot of women's conferences, and the people on this women's conference said, we want you to come, but we don't want you to do any of that Holy Spirit stuff, and we just want you to bring a message, and that's it. And she said, so I'm kind of limited there. I've just got to bring the word, and that's it. But guys, we need the word and the Holy Spirit working together. Amen? All right, so that's what's going to happen here today. If you will engage, I promise you, you're going to get something out of today's message that will help you in your walk with God. Because every one of us are in a walk with the Lord, and we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a walk by faith. And so that's the title of this message, is Great Faith. And we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning. Before we get to this, there was two things that amazed Jesus, was people's unbelief or their lack of faith, and then also people's faith in him. And there was only two times in scripture that he said, wow, I haven't seen such great faith, and that was to the Roman centurion. And then we're also going to look at also this lady. She's a Greek woman. That Jesus said, you've got great faith. And we're going to look at that here in just a second out of Mark chapter 7. But I just went ahead and I did a search in my Bible for the places where Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. And I have a Texas pastor friend of mine who likes to use this scripture because he knows I'm an OU fan. He goes, you know OU's in the Bible, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And his name's Ricky Griffin. He's been here before. He goes, it's OU of little faith. He loves doing that to me. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, it says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Basically, Jesus is just saying, I want you to trust me, trust the Lord with just your basic needs. You can trust him with your basic needs. Then in Matthew 8, verse 26, it says, "And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." And so that was during that storm. And so God doesn't want us in the storms of life. It may actually be a physical storm like that, or it may just be an emotional storm that your family's going through. The Lord wants you to look to him and trust him and have faith in him. Amen. All right, and then Matthew 14, verse 31, it says, "Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him," talking about Peter, when he was sinking in the water, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And the reason why he doubted was because he got his eyes on the circumstances around him and took his eyes off the Lord. And so we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And then Matthew 16, verse 8 says, "But Jesus, aware of this, said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread?'" Mark talked about that last week, how Jesus fed the 5,000. And then shortly thereafter, they're in the boat, totally forgot about this miracle, and they're discussing among themselves the fact that they don't have any bread. And Jesus is like, "Oh my gosh, you guys, oh, you have little faith." And so Jesus was constantly rebuking the disciples for their lack of faith. And then in Matthew 17, verse 20, this is right after Jesus cast out a demon. Yes, he did that in his ministry. The disciples had tried to do it, but they couldn't get it done. And they were amazed. They were like, "How did you do that, Jesus?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Did you know as a believer you can cast out demons? And we have an adversary. We're in a spiritual battle, and you can cast them out. And now we're going to look at Mark chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman's faith. That's what she was. And so she was actually a Greek, a Gentile, a Greek woman, but she was Syrophoenician. That was the place where she was from. And we're going to read this, and we're going to read this out of Mark chapter 7, but we're also going to read this out of Matthew chapter 15 as well. It says, "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house that he did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden." Okay, Jesus is getting very popular now. People know they can bring people to him, and he's gonna heal people, cast out demons. This is before, you know, cell phones, emails, and faxes, and vehicles, and all that, and this guy cannot be hidden. And he is being peopled. How many of you have ever been peopled? Kirk has. I know Kirk has. You've been peopled, and you're just like, "Man, I'm just ready to go home." You know, I'm thank Jesus for Walmart pickup. And everybody said amen. if Jesus was here, he would use Walmart pickup. I know he would. It says, "And entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit," we know this is an evil spirit, "heard of him and came and fell down at his feet." We don't know how far she came from. It's probably a good little ways. She'd heard about Jesus. And it says, "Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she answered him and said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And he said to her, 'For this statement,'" everybody say, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter.' And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone." Isn't that amazing? And we're gonna pick this passage apart, but I wanna read it to you again out of Matthew chapter 15, the faith of a Canaanite woman. She was a Canaanite woman as well. That's where Syrophoenicia, that's a hard to say word. I'm just going to say Greek or Gentile. That's easier for me to say. It says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" So evidently, even though this lady was a Gentile, she recognized Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the Son of David. He's the Messiah. And so she's telling him, "My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away. For the love of God, tell her to go home. For she is driving us crazy." She's crying. I'm putting in my own two cents in there. send her away, Lord, my gosh, for she's crying out after us and she's just causing a big scene. And it says, and he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, rough, rough. Some of you will get that later. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, and she's the only person, the only second person in the Bible, in the Gospels, where Jesus says, this person has great faith. He says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly, just because Jesus spoke the word. Isn't that good stuff, guys? We could just stop right there and go home, because that we read the scripture. I mean, this is a powerful word. But if you're taking notes, you know me, Mr. Teacher's coming out this morning. I'm going to give you five marks of a person with great faith. And I promise you, if you'll be listening to the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to listen to me to hear the Holy Spirit. But listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, this is what you're missing in your faith walk. This is something you need to work on. This is something that will help you do this. Okay? Everybody with me?
Yes.
Everybody listening? Yeah, Pastor Mark. Okay, we're going to be here till 2 o'clock and make sure. All right. Here's number one. Number one. And some of these you're going to think, oh, gosh, dirty-dur, this is simple stuff. But it's so simple, guys. We've made prayer and faith hard. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's very simple. And so there these five things, and one of them the Lord's going to really get a hold of you and say, this is something you need to work on. All right, here's number one. A person with great faith brings their problems to Jesus. We all think, dirty-dur. You know, a person with great faith brings their problems to Jesus. But here's the deal, and I'm including myself. How many of us go to other people first? You know, and if you're married in here and you have a spouse or dating or whatever, yes, I take a lot of our problems to Jada. But I'm talking about first. Who do you go to first? I talk to Jada about things that are going on. How many of you talk to your spouse? You need to. That's marriage 101 right there. All right, I go to her because there was one day I was being very short with Jada. How many of you have ever been short with your spouse? And she goes, you got a problem. And she goes, not only have you not taken it to Jesus, but you hadn't even told me what your problem is. And so then I had to tell her. But I hadn't even talked to the Lord about it. I was just stewing about it and taking it out on her. And guys, we all, you know, I'm guilty of this. That's why there is, and I'm going to say this, because that is why there's so much substance abuse in the land. Alcohol and drugs is because people go to that instead of going to the Lord. That's why some people go to food. Hello. How many of you emotionally? I do. I'll be honest with you, I do. The other day I had I'll tell you when it happened. Yesterday I had something happen. And I know I make jokes about this, but it's so true. Paul Blart is a man after my own heart, mall cop. And I'm telling you, when he said peanut butter fills the cracks of the heart, it does. And that's my go-to thing. But yesterday, praise the Lord, I didn't go to peanut butter. I had a bad day, I didn't go to peanut butter and syrup. And we laugh at that, but I'm telling you, that has become, I can put that in place of the going to the Lord. Get me a big old tub of Jif and some syrup and a spoon, and I will eat myself into a coma, right? And then wake up and repent later. And we all make fun of that, but we all have these little things that we go to instead of going to the Lord. You know, some people go to pornography. Some people go to alcohol. Some people go to drugs. Some people just, they want to go to the phone and get on the phone and call, you know, their friend and just vent and vent and vent and vent, and it's doing nothing, but you just made that person offended with you. So you got two in misery now, and you need to go to the Lord. Look at somebody say, you need to go to the Lord. Need to go to the Lord, first thing. Mark 7, verse 25 says, but immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. That's something we can learn from the Syrophoenician woman, is she went to the Lord first. She went to the Lord. Matthew 15, verse 22. She didn't go to any medicine man in the village. She said, I know of Jesus. I'm going to go to Jesus. I've heard about him. He's casting out demons. He's healing people. And we really don't know what this unclean spirit was doing. Here's the deal. I was going to say this too, because a lot of people's like, well, what was this evil spirit doing? And, you know, here's the deal. It was causing problems. We don't know what it was exactly, but it was evil. It was not of the Lord, and it needed to be cast out. We don't need to find out where it came into her life at. We don't need to find out this demon's name. We just need to cast it out. Amen. And then in Matthew 15, verse 22, it says, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. All right, so where is everybody going to go first? To the Lord, not to anything else. All right, number two, a person with great faith is persistent. They don't give up. And when I first read this, I thought, because even in the scripture it says, but he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. And one of the there's one at Mark 7 somewhere in there, but it even talks about her begging Jesus and for the answer. And I was like, you know, okay, God, are you telling us in this passage to be beggars? But that's not what this is saying at all. He said, no, Mark, that was just not a good translation of the word. But what this woman was, she was persistent. She had bulldog faith. She was not going to give up. A beggar, if they can't get help from somebody, if they can't get help from this person, they'll go to another person, right? This wasn't her case. She wasn't begging. She knew that Jesus was the answer, and I'm going to stay here, by gosh, until hell freezes over, until I get my answer. That's how she made that up in her mind and in her heart. And she wasn't going to give up, and she wasn't going to take no for an answer. And so, and it says that Jesus, when she came to him, and some of us think, well, Jesus was being stuck up, you know, and because he was, you know, we see in passages in scripture where he healed people instantly and immediately and as soon as they came to him and all this. But this time, he's just kind of like shrugging her off, like, you know, he didn't even answer. And his disciples are seeing what Jesus is doing. It's like, hey, he's not even paying her attention. We just need to tell her to get out of here. But Jesus is doing something all in the midst of this. He's teaching all of us a valuable lesson. But a person with great faith is persistent. They don't give up. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. All right. I'm going to show you two passages of Scripture. One of them is in Luke chapter 11, and the other one's in Luke chapter 18. Talking about this, where Jesus used two parables to teach us about being persistent. It says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. If you have little kids, you don't want anybody bothering you when they're asleep. You don't want anybody waking them up. I cannot get up and give you anything. These guys are friends. But he says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, everybody say persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. This is Jesus talking. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The Lord wants us to be persistent, guys. Some of us, here's the deal, the reason why you haven't got your miracle or your need met or your prayer answered is because you've given up too soon. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. We're not giving up. We're not giving up. Not ever giving up. All right, Luke chapter 18 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith like that widow, like that persistent widow? Do you have that kind of persistent faith? Look at somebody and say, you got to be persistent. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. All right, here's number three. Number three, a person with great faith believes God will make an exception for them. This is big. A person with great faith believes God will make an exception for them. And here's the revelation behind this, guys. A lot of us, I've been there, done that because of shame, because of guilt, because of the past, because of condemnation from the enemy, even condemnation through other people, even condemnation through Christian people in the church. We get to the point where we just expect that we shouldn't expect anything from God. We don't believe that God's going to hear us and God's going to answer our prayer because we're just a low-life sinner. And God wants us to think a little bit higher than that of ourselves. Amen? We're a child of God. Amen? You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. A person with great faith believes God will make an exception for them. My dad walks around and he thinks he is God's favorite. And I just let him do it because I also know I'm God's favorite. And we Dad and I laugh at each other because we come up here for communion. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. So you know why the middle one is gone every Sunday out of that. He's the apple of God's eye, all right? And he tells me that, you know, and we laugh about it and we joke about it. But that really, even though we laugh and we joke about it, that's the mentality God wants us to have, that we're God's favorite. And most people don't walk around like that. Most of us walk around in doom and gloom and agony on me, and I'm just a low-life sinner, and God don't like me, and God hates me, and life's just dumping on me. And anybody? All right, so a person with great faith believes God will make an exception for them. And that's what this Syrophoenician woman, she'd came a long way to get her daughter healed, and she wasn't going to take a no for an answer. And she knew there's going to be somehow, some way. I know this man's a good man, Jesus. I believe he is the Messiah, and I believe he's going to make an exception for me. Even though I'm not a child of God, even though I'm not a Jewish woman, I'm a Gentile, he's going to make an exception for me. Matthew 15, verse 24, it says, and he answered, he told her, he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this was right. Romans 1, 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Aren't you glad that we got grafted in, guys? Amen. All right, and I'm going to come back to this in just a little bit. She stayed persistent even with this. Even though he answered, she was like, okay, that's not a no. I got to wait in line. He was telling her, I was only sent to the lost news. She was like, no, not just to them. That's not a no. I just need to wait my turn. Look at somebody and say, you need to wait your turn. Okay. Here's number four. A person with great faith is humble in approaching God. All right. This is a huge one, guys. They're all big, but this is where if you don't stay humble, pride can get in there and you can get offended at God. I've had it happen. God, where you at? God, I thought I was your favorite. Sure not looking like it today. You know, a person with great faith is humble in approaching God. In Matthew 15, verse 25, it says, but she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. Very simple little prayer. So I just want to tell you, again, quit making faith and prayer complicated. It was just, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She didn't say, well, she didn't do this. And Mark and I, we talk about this a lot because we live in a results-oriented society. And so, therefore, I must have done something bad yesterday for God not to answer this prayer today. And that's not it. That's not it at all. God wants you to stay humble. Because when you start thinking like that, you're putting too much of yourself into the equation. I've done it too. I've done it. And here's the deal too in this same situation, because when we're battling with staying humble and God, I don't know why it hasn't answered yet, and God, I don't understand what you're doing, and you know, quit trying to figure out God, just walk by faith, amen. And And here's the other thing about your mouth. If you can't speak faith-filled words during this time of being, you know, her short little prayer was, Lord, help me. If you can't speak faith-filled words, don't say anything at all. And everybody said, amen. Because whenever your pride and your ego gets in there, you can start saying all kinds of stuff and speaking doom and gloom over everything that's going on around you. And you need to keep your mouth shut. And everybody said, amen. It's kind of like, you know, I was thinking about, have you ever seen those ads on TV for medicine? And, you know, it talks about this will heal you, and it has that big, and then at the very end of it, it just has this disclaimer that somebody's talking real fast, and they're saying it'll cause diarrhea, you know, heart murmurs, you know, and it just goes down the list, you know, diarrhea, vomiting, and you're just like, why even take it, you know? But at the beginning of it, it talks about that this will help you. This may be a bad analogy, but probably is. But the deal is it amazes me how we pay attention. We don't pay attention to the positive, even though that was broadcast out there at the beginning of it, but we pay attention to that real fast stuff at the end that's all negative. And then we take that and we talk about that all the time. Well, if I take it, then it's going to cause vomiting and diarrhea and all that. Yeah. We got to stay focused. That was a bad analogy. We got to stay focused on the positive. Amen? We got to stay focused on the positive is the point I'm trying to make there. Because there's always going to be negative side effects to anything, guys, all the time. And you got to stay focused on the positive. All right, here's a look at this scripture. Mark 7, verses 27 through 28 says, and he said to her, let the children be fed first, talking about the children of Israel, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she could have, you know what, if you'd have heard that, you could have got all offended and like, well, I'm just going to go home. And I can't even believe you just said that. She does not get offended at all, but she answered him and said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She didn't get offended. Somebody in here is, you've taken offense at God, and I'm just trying to encourage you to humble yourself and don't get offended. Amen. All right, here's number five. Everybody learning something today? You learned something? All right, here's number five. A person with great faith receives answers from God. So she ends up receiving her answer. Matthew 15, verse 28 says, then Jesus answered her and said, A woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. And I love this, this next one right here in Mark chapter 7, where it says, and he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. What was that statement? Let's go back. Right there, verse 28, but she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She didn't get offended at God. She just said, hey, I'm going to stay here until there's a crumb that falls off the table because I know your crumbs can heal my daughter. I was going to title this message Crummy Faith, but I entitled it Great Faith because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith. And he says, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter, and she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. And here's what I want to tell you on this one. A person with great faith receives answers from God. Maybe the reason that you're not receiving your answer is because you're speaking the wrong statements over your situation. Yes. You're not speaking those faith-filled words. Jade and I, every day, guys, and we're not super spiritual people, even though God called us to be pastors, but every day, Jade and I pray. And it may be at home, or it may be she calls me while I'm driving to Elk City to go to work or whatever, and she calls me up, and we just pray. And we just speak life over everything that's going on in our lives, our personal lives, over Taya and Cameron and Jarek. We do that. We try to do that every day. I'm not saying that we faithfully get that done, but we try to do that every day and even every evening before we go to bed. We try to do that. And guys, I'm telling you, not only does it bond her and I together as one, spirit, soul, and body. And if you're a guy in here, I can remember whenever I heard a pastor say one time, you need to pray with your wife. And I was like, And I can remember when I first started was just praying over the food at the house, just thanking God for the food. And guys, I'm telling you, Jada has, of all the things that I have ever done in our, how long have we been married, babe? I got to figure that up now. I put myself out there, 27. Put myself out there. I had to think quick. 27, but she has told me that the number one thing that brings her security is me praying with her. And I don't have all the answers. I just pray with what's going on in our lives. And guys, it's amazing to see God work out the things for the good. You know, and we had some, you know, do we have bad things happen? Yeah, we had some yesterday, but we're going to get through it by faith. Amen. We're going to use these five things. We're going to keep speaking faith-filled words over our situation. Yeah, yes, I'm going to stay away from the peanut butter and syrup and take my problems to God. I know we make fun of that, but we do this, guys. These five things. How many of you heard something today that's going to help you tomorrow or help you today? Good. Amen. Then I did my job, and everybody said, amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And before we go today, I always do this every Sunday because I want to make sure that everyone here and those that are watching on our online church, make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because that's the greatest thing that you can do is put your faith and trust in Him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we're all whosoever's in here this morning. And so I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, I would love the honor and the privilege of baptizing you. That's your next step of obedience, is following the Lord in water baptism. Or maybe you feel like you need to do that again. It took me two dunks. we can do that next Sunday. If you'd like to do that, you can just get with me. But Jada, I want you to come up here, and I want everybody to stand up, and we're going to speak a blessing over you, and then we're going to go back there at the back and greet y'all before y'all leave today. We're going to bless you today. This is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hug somebody's neck and say, you got to have great faith.